So we're going to move on to the message. I'm going to just pray. Heavenly Father God, I pray that everything in the message today comes from you. God, I pray that it is also received by everyone here in the way that your Holy Spirit will guide them to receive the message appropriately. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about a radical fresh start. There's a certain milestones in life we have, like birthdays, New Year, stuff like that. And people reflect on their lives at that time. We just finished New Year a couple weeks ago. We're kind of still in January. People reflect on their spiritual state, their walk with God, and many other things, whether they've gained weight or lost weight or gained hair and lost hair, you know, and stuff that people, or whether they're still single, or stuff that people kind of think about, looking where they would like their life to have, to be. And it's, these dates don't generally have an intrinsic significance. I mean, a new year is kind of like another year. I had a fellow at work. He was from Chinese culture, and he told me that they celebrate the Lunar New Year in February 1st. So I told him, well, if you make a resolution January 1st and it doesn't work out for you, you can try again February 1st. And he kind of laughed, right? These dates are just dates, but something in us, we want these milestones to think about our life. And this kind of reflection is useful spiritually, and it's formalized a bit when we take communion, and we're going to talk about that next Sunday. But I'm thinking that these New Year's and birthdays and these milestones, it's useful for us to think about our spiritual life and where we are, and if we are where we want to be and how we can make things better in our spiritual life. So, and God definitely invites us to have a fresh start in our lives. From God's perspective, that fresh start is given to us in Christ, like we talked about last week. In Christos, we have that fresh start. But sometimes we need to approach this fresh start from our perspective and make changes in our lives to allow us to see progress, to see a change. I'm going to read from Lamentations 33, chapter 3, verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. And in verse 23, it says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So God's mercy, God's compassion is new every morning. We can approach God. If we mess something up, we can approach him again and again and ask him, God, sorry. Jesus, when they talked about forgiveness, he asked the disciples, how often should you forgive? And they said, maybe 7 times, the same thing. And Jesus said, 70 times 7. And the same thing is with our relationship with God. With respect to the number of times we can approach God with the same problem. But we don't want to do that, right? We want to grow spiritually and not return to God with the same problems every day. We want have a positive change in our life. We want spiritual growth. I'm going to talk today about Rachel and Jacob. So I'm going to remind you guys about the story of Jacob. Abraham leaves Ur of the Chaldees, goes out into the land of the promised land, receives a covenant from God. Then his son Isaac, when he gets married, he goes back to Abraham's family that kind of didn't completely go to the promised land. We're kind of left halfway back. It was quite far. And then Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. There's all kinds of family problems. Isaac likes Esau. His wife likes Jacob. They favoritize each other. They get into fights. And eventually, Jacob steals Esau's birthright. And he runs off because Esau's mad at him. Anywhere does he go? Well, he goes to visit far-off family. It's kind of the one spot he can imagine where he'd be received would be his uncle Laban. And he goes to his uncle's house, the same place his mother came from, and he falls in love. He falls in love with Rachel. And he works, he doesn't have a dowry, so he works for 7 long years for free to be able to marry Rachel. Then he gets tricked, he marries Leah instead. And they marry, he marries Rachel as well, which is probably also not a good idea. But, I mean, the Bible, when you read the Bible, it really doesn't, it gives people's defects. Because we can learn from them. And all through the Bible, you see where people mess up, right? That's how we learn, is when we read about that stuff. So finally, he works for another 7 years for Rachel. Then he has some business relationships with Laban that he gets rich because God blesses him. Laban's kind of jealous. And finally, it's time that they decide they're going to go back to the promised land. This is the big moment. This is the fresh start for the family, because they're not going to live under Laban's house anymore. They're going to leave and go to the promised land. Rachel, the beloved Rachel, has a great opportunity here for a fresh start. I'm sure she wasn't oblivious to how she was treated when the love of her life is tricked into marrying her sister. She can finally get out from under mom and dad's house. She can go with Jacob to have this fresh start. But what does she do? Can we show the picture I had of the camel, Andre? Okay, this is a camel. We drove when we were in Egypt. It's a stock picture. But when we were in Egypt, we drove camels like this with my wife many years ago. Rode. You don't drive camels. I guess you can drive them, but it's not pleasant. They're mean, ugly beasts, these things. I was on the camel, and Ola was on the camel in front of me. And then my camel decides to bite Ola's camel, and Ola's camel jumps, and Ola's stressed out. But the camels have a big hump, right? So look at the seat of the camel. It's massive. Because to be able to comfortably sit on top of this hump is kind of complicated. You need a big seat. And I'm sure there's a lot of work and thought put in to how to make this seat on top of a camel's hump. And when you take the seat off, it's almost like a couch, right? Take the seat off, you still have all this stuff around the seat. You can sit on the seat. And Rachel, she steals the idols in Laban's house, his household gods. She knows you're not supposed to have idols. Like this was before the law, but even Jacob knew that, right? But she steals the idols and she hides them kind of under that. She's sitting in her tent and she hides the idols underneath the seat. And when Laban comes chasing them because someone took my idols, Laban doesn't find them. Why did Rachel steal this? Probably, maybe it was a plan B, a safety net. Maybe she said, you know, I'm going for this fresh start, but I'm going to keep a little bit over here for safety, just in case. Just in case, I'm going to take these idols and take them with me. Maybe she's not. I don't think I'm going to worship them, but I'll have them available close to me, right? I guess it's even much worse to have God as your plan B. That's even worse, right? but she probably had God as a plan A, but she had a plan B. So I would like to encourage each of us to do something radical this year. Let's cut the ties with certain things. The Bible says there's no condemnation if you are in Christ. If you share in Jesus' anointing by the Holy Spirit through new birth. But carrying things along with us can affect our fresh start. They can bring us down. And there's also room for spiritual growth in our lives. And some of these things that we carry with us from the new year into the old year, from our past birthday to our current birthday, they can affect how we grow spiritually. So I guess the question today is, what's in your camel sacks? What are you carrying with you into this year? Maybe it's old sins that God forgave and you're still fighting them in your mind and discouraged from them. I would say that if you're guilty about anything that happened last year, it's February 15th, 16th. January 16th. It's time to deal with that, right? Like that was two weeks ago and you're still guilty about something you did last year. Well, time to deal with that. That's baggage, right? Maybe desiring bad things can be in your camel sacks. Old situation, old hurts, some kind of unforgiveness. With Rachel, it was a little bit more serious because these household gods also represent generational baggage. There's problems in the family that started with Abraham and Hagar, okay? And then this triggers problems. Generation after generation goes from Abraham, problems go to Isaac. From Isaac, problems go to Jacob. And then with this problem, I'm going to read what happens here. Genesis 31, verse 53. Actually, no, I'm going to go a little bit before. What Jacob does is he basically swears an oath. And he says, if anyone took these idols, he can die. And then, he doesn't know Rachel took the idols, but he swears an oath. And later on, Rachel dies in childbirth when she has Benjamin. And now, the generational problem continues down to his family. That could have been cut, but it continues. And then from there, it goes to Joseph, because Joseph has a problem because he's the son of Rachel, and there's favoritism, and there's problems there. So we see four generations of people affected by the same problem here. That's also, if there's kind of stuff like that in your life, it's broken on the cross. But we need to cut the ties. We cannot encourage ourselves to keep these generational problems going in our lives. We are under grace. Do not invoke the judgment of God in your life or in the life of others in your family. I'm going to read Matthew 5. It's a little bit an aside, but we're on the topic. I'm going to read Matthew 5, verse 34. And by we, I mean as Christians, we are under grace. And here we're going to read Matthew 5, verse 34. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the great city of the king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So Jesus Jesus understood the danger of invoking certain things. In our life. Let's be careful about that. It might cause us to have problems in our lives, right? What else is in your pack? What else is in your saddle? Thinking about dealing with recurring sources of conflict in our relationships. Jesus says something that just made the Jews just go like, whoa. He says, if a Roman soldier comes to you, it's the context, he doesn't say specifically Roman soldier, but in Israel, Roman soldier had the right to take a non-Roman walking down the street. You, Natalia, you're going to carry my pack for 1 kilometer or 1 mile. And you had to carry his pack. Because the Roman soldier had somewhere to go. He had places to be. He's not going to be carrying his pack around. He doesn't want to be tired. He's going fast. He wants to get to somewhere. But after 1 mile, you had the right to put the pack down, and the Roman soldier would choose someone else. You take my pack. You take my pack. And that's how the Roman soldier could get to where he was going. He didn't want to carry a mule around. He didn't have a horse. So you were his horse. You were his mule. And what does Jesus say? Take the pack an extra mile. So if he's saying that with respect to the Roman soldier with our loved ones, why wouldn't we take the pack an extra mile? Why you would say, I have the right to be mad at you because you did something to me. I'm annoyed, but I'm going to ignore it. I'm not going to start fighting over this. This is deep, and this kind of attitude will allow us to make a positive change in our lives. I'm gonna talk about something. I rewrote what I was gonna say here like 3 or 4 times because this is a delicate subject, and I'm not here to offend anyone. But I'm gonna talk a little bit about the news. Is there a newspaper in our camel sack, or maybe a conspiracy theory from Facebook? Is there something along those lines that isn't helping us spiritually? I'm going to read Isaiah 8:12. It's just amazing when I read this. And this is written almost 3,000 years ago. Do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. And so on. We're above some of this stuff. You know, something in me, there's a nice juicy conspiracy theory. You know, a nice tidbit that I don't know if it's true, but probably it's not true. But I forward it I repeat it to someone. It doesn't really affect me. But how does it affect your brother or sister? Are you sowing fear and division into your brother or sister, into someone in your family by repeating stuff that you read somewhere online? If this is a problem, it's the time to cut the ties with that stuff. You don't feed yourself with it and trust God instead. Seek Him for a revelation, and things will be better in your life. Finally, and you know, there's many other things we could talk about where we could make improvements, but kind of the last one I wanted to talk about is reconciliation, renewal of relationships. For all the faults here between Laban and Jacob, they try to leave on good terms. They make a pillar to cement that they're not going to go to war. There could have been a war here. They could have started, because remember, these were clans at this point. These were units with servants, and these were clans. There could have been a war, but they decide to reconcile. They set up a pillar. They leave each other on relatively good terms. I know, sometimes there's old stuff where the wound is healed and it's probably better just to leave things alone. We have discernment. We don't need to remove old scabs. But if there's an active relationship problem in our lives, something that's bugging you or you know is bugging someone else, it's a good time to deal with it. Just resolve it. I think the first step here is a decision that we want to change. Give some thought into this. When you go home, take 5 minutes and think about where you are spiritually and what baggage are you taking with you. I think that's kind of the main point of my or one of the main points of my message here. God wants to help us in it. God wants us to grow spiritually. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you love us. You've given us everything we need for life and godliness in Christ. Often, we don't do things the way we should, but we would like to improve. We want to do things better. We want to be more like you. God, I ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, reveal to each person here the stuff that they should be dealing with to help with spiritual growth. Jesus, give us the strength to cut the ties from things that we don't need, that are a hindrance. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'm going to close the service. If anyone, but I'm going to say next week is communion. Let's think about this seriously. God wants to encourage us. God wants us to have an abundance. So let's take advantage of it, okay? Thanks, guys. God bless you.